Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. And today, our show, we're going to recap a little bit about last week. We had a little issue with somebody, and we were talking about that on the show last week. And Melvin came in, and he brought to our attentions that there is kind of an order to what Christian people or people who say they're Christians, what we do, and how we're supposed to do things. And what we were supposed to do is we were supposed to talk to the young lady in question, try to iron it out. If we could not do that, then bring someone else to witness the conversation and then take it to the church. Now, in my opinion, I don't think it, you know, was about all that, but we didn't do things right, and I'm here to say that we didn't, and I'm just acknowledging what Melvin said is correct. So we were wrong. I was wrong. But also, in our ministry, Positive Light Ministries, some people are geared for, you know, dealing with issues or, like, even children. I'll say, I'm not trying to put this woman in the same light as that, but at Positive Light, we try to grab the kids that want to achieve. I would give children a chance, but if they didn't want to succeed, I wasn't one to just beg them to try to make something of themselves. It's that we have to try to take the initiative if we want anything to try to move to the next level or go to that level. And that's where I'm at. I guess basically I'm just tired, you know, of having to deal with certain things. And that's wrong. I'm not supposed to be tired. And Melvin was right. Ministry is something that we all must do to try to, you know, look past ourselves and do for others. So I'd like Shantae to read a scripture.
Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
So with that said, I got to get, you know, my act together, you know, and I have to be reminded, like Melvin did remind me.
Well, it's a learning experience on how we're supposed to act. I mean, I don't think everyone does or handles situations as how they're supposed to. But I think Melvin coming in and giving his input and his advice was a learning experience for us that we can take into the future.
Yeah, but I think what's most important, and not trying to pat myself on the back, but I think that we have to acknowledge when people come to us with an insight or knowledge, should we listen? You know, should we listen? I mean, it's a conflict. I'm willing to try to do what's right because it was brought to my attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think doing what's right, what Melvin said was, go to the Bible. What did the Bible say to do and how to handle the situation? And that's what Melvin was trying to bring you up. Like most things in life, if we turn to the Word, there's answers in there. Between praying and reading our Bibles, there's answers. There's many things that we're all going to stumble over and do wrong because we're only human.
Speak for yourself. No, I'm just playing. But that's right, and people have their sources of how they keep it together or get it together. Ours just happens to be the Word of God, what we call the Word of God, the Bible, what I use, the King James Version. version of the Bible that is Old and New Testament, but it's our guideline. That's what we use as a guideline. So with that said,
our discussion.
Yeah. Our topic for this week's show is going to be, do good people go to hell? Okay, now that's kind of a deep one, and it's kind of a something that a lot of people shun from. A lot of people refuse to believe in hell. A lot of people don't believe in heaven. But I have a friend, and he's an atheist. And he's done for more for this ministry than a lot of Christian people, than a lot of people. He's an atheist. He does not believe in heaven, does not believe in hell. He believes that when he dies, there is nothing beyond that, just death. Okay? In my opinion, I know the Bible says that there's no good, nobody good on this earth except God. But in my opinion, in my heart, he's a good man. Okay, there's another young lady, and we were talking about the lottery and winning millions and all that kind of stuff. And she was basically saying that that money would corrupt me or her, or it corrupts people. And it's not a false statement, but I was telling her then that if you know, follow the word of God and you tithe that money, if you tithe, you know, $300 million, and real quick, what's 10% of 300 mil?
300,000.
Okay, that is a lot of money to give away. And most people, I mean, they don't tithe. What were you saying about the tithing niece in the church?
Well, I think it doesn't matter what church you go to. Pastor after pastor is always talking about tithing. And every church has an issue with that. You know, good people, good Christian people, that's where they stumble the hardest on is
tithing. They want to keep their money in their pocket.
That's right. They don't want the church or anybody else to have their hand in their pocket.
Yeah, for those that don't know what tithing is, it's giving 10%, the first 10% of your income.
Yeah, your income, mm-hmm. be it your job or your earnings, and God makes some very, very beautiful promises to those people who do those things. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy game or an easy thing to understand, because there are plenty of filthy rich people that don't give a crap about God or anything that he stands for, and they're filthy rich. But our conversation was dealing with money and tithing, and I guess my point to her was, if I got $300 million and I could give $300,000 away, then my heart and my being is not focused on money.
Well, it's focused on being obedient to what the word of the Lord tells us to do, and that's a very hard thing for people to do, is be obedient to anything.
Well, yeah, we all have our ways, and we're all very, very selfish. It's called sin. But what I'm getting at is that if you're not greedy and selfish, you won't let money ruin your life. And I'm not saying that it won't happen. If I got it I tithe and I do those things, and I have, and I have taught my children, and I tell everybody else that that's a good thing. But if I got $300 million, I'm not like thinking,
Well, I think there's a misconception that a lot of people have. A lot of people quote that money is the root of all evil.
No,
and that is not in the Bible.
What is
it's the
Bible?
Love of money is the root of all evil. And people forget that very first part of that verse. And that's where they get confused, is that they love it more and it then corrupts them.
We had a discussion, I think, probably when I first met you, around the time I first met you, mm-hmm. and you were like asking me if the scripture that says money is the answer to everything was in the Bible. And I didn't believe you when you said it was, because it doesn't seem like that would be a scripture that's in the Bible, but...
You don't know the verse?
Look it up. No, I can find it. It's not
okay,
hard.
And it is. And I forgot about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that scripture saying that money is the answer to everything. And then I I told you, then if that's the case, then how come there's that scripture that says money is the root of all evil? And you told me, you know, that the love of money is the root of all evil, but money is the answer to everything. So,
yeah, I forgot. Now, you were tithing and in your little work program and everything. You had to give
my little work program.
Yeah, you was jamming in that thing. You were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you were giving that money that you know, that we're talking about now. Okay, but back to what I was saying about this beautiful young lady. I believe that she is so beautiful, and I mean, she's done a lot for me. And all the time that I've known her, she's been wonderful. She's not selfish. She tries to help people and in that light. But she told me, she said to me, so does that mean if I don't tithe, that means I'm going to hell? And that's what she said to me, and that just kind of got me. And she was angry. You know, she was angry when she said it. So I was praying about it, and my friend Matt and this young lady. And I just look at, I mean, it makes me sad because I believe in a truth. And I believe that it's the foundation of the existence of this very world and universe. So anyway, I would like to do a song, because when I was praying, I was thinking about this song, so I'm not, I would like to do it. So we're gonna do it, so bear with us. I just happen to have a guitar over there in the corner.
Coincidence.
Okay, here we go. People get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just
get on board.
All you need is faith to hear the diesel summon. You don't need no ticket, you just
thank the Lord.
So people get ready for the train to Jordan. It's picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's room for all amongst those loved the most. So people get ready, yeah. People get ready, yes, yeah. Are you ready? You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so
put it away behind you. Just toss it.
What I'm saying, and I guess that song, it's an old Curtis Mayfield song, who was just brilliant, a genius. Man, wonderful songs. And that song is just saying, you know, we need to get ready and, you know, jump on the train. But from what I'm seeing is like, nobody wants to get on the train. Nobody even believes in the train. And that, in my opinion, is it's sad to me to when I talk about scripture or Christ. Now, Matt, he doesn't get mad about it. And I mean, he puts up with me. I mean, I told him, I said, man, you're going to hell. And Shantae doesn't believe I talk to him like that, but that's what I tell him. I said, you're going to hell. And he
asked you if you said it that way to him exactly.
And he doesn't get mad. He just does his thing. I gave him like this book. It's called Four Spiritual Laws. And it tells us how to become saved and the reasons, you know, why we're separated from God and why we need Christ. And he's got those books, but he will not read them.
Well, I think too many people think I can do it later. I can do it later.
Okay, but I forgot to mention that he's fighting cancer. And you know, it's got a hold of him. And the last time I talked to him, he was having more complications. They said it was in remission. But then another, I guess, strain, I don't know if that's what you'd call it, popped up. And then he had to go to the doctor to see if it's the aggressive one or if it's the same one that he had that's in remission.
But, you know, even if you don't have cancer or whatever, tomorrow's not promised to anyone. So, like in the song says, you better get on board, because that step you take onto that train could be the last step that you take. You know, we don't know.
Well, Nisa, that's, when you step on that train, that will be the last step that you
but
take.
I'm saying,
I mean, as far as on Earth.
Yeah, on Earth.
Yeah,
but
so.
That, what I'm trying to say is that you have to be ready now, because we don't know 2 seconds from now, 1 second from now, what's going to happen to us. We don't know.
You're saying like earthquake could happen right now.
I'm just saying
the
that.
Engineers I think, could be all wiped out. Everybody!
Well, I think that's becoming more real with what we're seeing in the news and a lot of the craziness that's going on. I think it's causing some people to think about life and how it's not promised. I think a lot of people hear that and they don't really take it seriously. But I think with what's going on today and what has been going on pretty recently with shootings and so many things going on, I think it's causing a lot of people to think about their lives and where they're headed and
you really
how
think
they treat
so, though?
How they treat people. I
mean,
think
do you
so.
Really? I mean, I don't. I don't
so.
See it. I don't see it. I think that. I mean, from what I see, a lot of people are just trying to get their hustle on because, you know, economy's bad and they're trying to make it and there's not much to grab. And
well, I mean, I don't know if it's heavily influencing people. I'm just saying, I think that it's causing people to think.
I think it's like we're all like little woodland creatures and we're in the forest. And if something eats you, that's just a way of the forest. And I think that's how people view the world now, that it's happening so much, so many times.
So you're saying people are numb to it?
That's basically, or you say complacent, or...
Well, it's become the norm of life.
You just become desensitized where you don't have any.
And I think that's what we're doing. We're just walking around in this, and then, you know, if it's our time to go, and people say that all the time, well, if it's my time to go.
Right, but I think if, you know, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. But are you ready? Because we don't know when our time's going to be.
But people don't, they don't know what ready is. They don't even want to know what ready means. I mean, in Christ.
Well,
I mean,
I think I get what you're saying with what's going on in the world and people not having any really compassion or emotions. And I think like what we got into before with social media and how kind of everyone's into themselves and their own thing, and people rather text and call, and there's really no emotional
connection. Well, it's impersonal.
Connection. Yeah, there's no emotional connections really anymore. Or people wanting to meet with someone in person or talk or spend time with anybody, but we're kind of glued to phones and everything else that I think, like you said, with people not really having any emotions and are numb to everything.
Think that that's kind of part of the master plan, that we all become desensitized to life and living and caring, and that's what the Bible says.
What do you mean master plan?
Well, I'm just saying God's plan is that if you believe that Christ is coming back, he's not, the world's not going to just turn in the blink of an eye. It's got to build up to that. And then when you know, Christian people are raptured, then what's ever left are going to destroy one another. Everybody's going to be, it's just going to be those selfish, greedy people stuck here to deal with one another. And that's where all the turmoil and the tribulation and all that stuff is, in my opinion, is going to come in. Okay, now, do good people go to hell? Okay, now, I have a little, a couple of verses that I'm not going to read, but there, did you grab those about the 10 lepers?
No.
We don't have to. You don't have
I
to.
Didn't.
Okay, there's a story in the Bible. Jesus healed 10 lepers. But only one came back to thank him. And he asked the one, were there 10 of you? Paraphrase. And you know, that's one of the points I'm trying to make. Well, do good people go to hell? Were those nine lepers, were they good people and they just forgot to thank Jesus for changing their lives? Because in those days, lepers were outcasts. They could not mingle with anybody. They had to say, if they were like upwind, downwind, or close to anybody, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean. So when Jesus healed them of leprosy, were they just so grateful that they had to run off to see their mothers, their sisters, their wives, their brothers, get their jobs back, whatever it is that they had to do? Were they that busy that they could not take the time to say, hey, thank you, Lord?
Well, I think times weren't any different then than they are right now. It's the same selfishness, in my opinion, that they're off to do their thing versus even taking just a second to say thank you. So many people nowadays do the same thing. Things that they don't say thank you. They're unappreciative. They just got what they wanted and moved on. And it's like, oh, well, like Shante was saying, complacent to what is happening.
Oh, okay. So what I'm saying, and I guess the point I'm trying to say, that's 1 in 10. Do good people go to hell? Do we judge those nine? Sitting here, do I judge those nine because they didn't say, thank you, Lord? Does that make them bad people? Okay, that's, I guess, that. And then the other example is Noah. Now, I don't know if you guys are out there listening in Webland. Is it called, is it Web Cyberland or?
It's called a radio.
It's not a radio. It's a computer. Anyway, if you believe that this whole earth was covered with water, everything died on this earth except for who was on a vessel called the ark that Noah built, that God instructed him to build. There were 8 souls: Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives, and 2 of every kind of animal, plus the animals that they sacrificed for worship. Okay, now, I was looking at that. You didn't write my notebook. My notebook! I don't have my notebook, but let me see if my brain will work. I was looking up some facts it was called WordPress.com. And this guy was doing population
calculations.
No, not calculations, but he had formulas for population. And he was estimating what the population was at the time of Noah. And what he did was he took from Adam, the years from Adam to Noah, and he put in the equation the lifespan was about 900 years. How many children conceived?
The birth rate.
Yeah, in a year. And he came up with this unbelievable number of 10 trillion. Okay, 10 trillion people. And he said that might be a little light, that it
like
was
a low estimate,
right? Not low,
but not completely accurate. Then.
An estimate.
It could be more.
Right. So 10 trillion. Does the world have that many people in it now?
There's six billion people, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
not trillion.
Okay. So unbelievable. But that's the website I got it from. Accurate. I don't know, but I mean, it looked like it made perfect sense.
Even if it's off by, you know, 1-0 on the end, mm-hmm. that's still more than what we have on the earth right now.
Okay, so out of 10 trillion people, there were only 8 souls saved. And I don't know if you believe that or whatever, but 10 trillion people. Was Noah and his family the only good people in that number?
Well, I don't, you know, I guess kind of the question I have is, you know, God wiped out the earth and did all those people that get wiped out go to hell? Or was there people in there that went to heaven, but they were wiped out?
I don't think at that time they had an option. There was a place, it's not purgatory, but they called it paradise. And they had hell, but there wasn't a heaven option until, I believe, Christ. After Christ, and there was a heaven, an option for heaven, but there was paradise for, or Abraham's bosom, or what they call so. Yeah, that's an interesting.
I mean, because obviously, yeah, when Adam died and Eve died, mm-hmm, you know, did they, you know, if there wasn't a heaven, did they go to hell? I mean, everybody died at some point in time, So, you know, in my mind, Noah and his family were chosen because of they were probably the most righteous or just people that God chose. But there was other people that were believers, good people, but God chose Noah and his family because he was angry. He was angry from the way that humans were acting.
The direction they were going in.
And so his anger was, you know, I'm going to start all over again, basically. And this is the most just or the most righteous family that he had, that he chose. But there, in my mind, was other good people. There was other believers. I don't believe that all those other ones were bad. Just like nowadays, there's, you know, why do children get cancer and die? They're not bad.
But it's called sin. And that's,
we all have sin.
I know, but that's the answer, and it might be typical, or, you know, people say that, but when
I think it's still hard for people to wrap their minds around, because we think of children as, you know, innocent or unaccountable for their actions
at that time. They aren't of an accountable age, but yet things happened to them. I mean, there was just a 9-year-old little girl that was killed by gangbangers. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just in the news.
Yeah.
She's a sinner because we are born with sin, but she's not at an accountable age yet, even.
Okay. Now, for that. What would be more of an interesting discussion is the gangbangers. Okay. Now, that's sin. And because of their actions, someone innocent died. Okay, so, but still, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but to go back to what I was saying, in the beginning, we sin, Adam sinned. And when he sinned, it brought disease, it brought death. And that's basically what it brought, was death, okay? And that's the reason why little children die, because sin has no...
It doesn't choose between old and young. Yeah. But with Noah, he still had that. He was born from Adam and Eve as a descendant on down there. So that sin gene or DNA track or whatever you want to call it was with him. I mean, when God, he didn't just wipe the whole earth out and say, okay, I'm going to start all over again with a clump of dust and make humans all over. That would be the only way that there could be no sin, was to start all the way over. But God didn't choose that. He chose to take Noah and his family to repopulate the earth and to grow. But that sin gene is still carried out through.
Why don't you think he didn't just start all over from dust?
God chose not to.
It's a cross between an elephant and a rhino, right? Yeah. Elephino.
Yeah. What came first, the egg or the chicken, you know, type of thing. That was that was God's plan for whatever went on. And I think, you know, when God gave us the ability above humans to make that decision. Above animals to make that decision, you know, we have a conscience. We know right from wrong. You know, animals are just taught, you know, they're trained to it. You know, you bring a dog and, you know, they pee in the house and you know, whack them with the newspaper, and eventually they know I'm not going to get whacked with the newspaper if I go potty outside. But humans have that.
They don't worship God as in a group, or they don't worship God. Maybe we don't know if they worship God in their own little way, but you don't walk through the forest and see a bunch of wolves having church.
No.
Okay, so they're not worshiping God.
They don't have a conscience.
Okay, so I guess... you talk about Noah and his righteousness, which I don't know. I have a little trouble with that, but...
if he was righteous or not?
I believe that he did what God wanted him to do, and God chose him, that he was chosen. But it's like Denise was saying, there was no one else that was on the earth with that large number that...
was worth saving, or...
Right. Well, I think there was people, in my mind, there was good people out there on there. There was people that believed in God. I don't think all people were turned against God and stuff, but I just think that...
So basically what you're saying, that God is a cruel God and that he killed innocent people just like he did millions of animals that never bothered anybody.
He's a just God. Uh-huh. And that was his way of dealing with the sin that was out there.
So you're saying because he saved only two of every animal and the other ones were wiped out? Is that what you're bringing up?
No, what I'm saying, were those animals homosexual, any of them? Do you think? Do you?
I don't think animals
have that trait.
I mean, animals go after instinct to appropriate.
What I'm saying is that they had to repopulate.
Right.
Now, there's people listening to us right now that just think we're talking about some make-believe fairy tale that a Bible, in my opinion, that Bible is, I mean, it's the truth, but... there's evidence of its truth, and it's not even irrefutable mm-hmm. evidence that it is the word of God. To me, because of the evidence that has been provided through it. Now, but there's people that are sitting out there right now saying, those kooks, I mean, why would God, not start again from dust? Why would he destroy, like you say, some righteous people or good people? How would this happen, And I guess those are questions that all of us have. Mm-hmm. But I think that we have to believe and have faith in what we believe. And that, in my opinion, and I thank God for it, is Jesus Christ, God, through Jesus Christ and that whole belief system.
Okay. I think we're going to cut to announcements and then we'll be back with our discussion. You can visit iTunes.com to download podcasts from our previous shows. If you'd like to call in, our number is 800-893-9562. The best impressions start at home. Elite for affordable prices. Livin' Large Furniture. That's Livin' Large Furniture. Call Richard at 951-214-8555. Again, that's 951-214-8555. Talk to Richard. Get that furniture. For interesting talk radio, be sure to tune in to the Qumran Report with Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony. Mondays at 8 p.m. live Skid Row Studios. And Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly Veterans Theater workshop. It's led again by Melvin Ishmael Johnson, Earlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6. A free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. It's a great way to learn how to write your own plays, how to act. I highly recommend it. Willis and I have participated in it. It's
awesome.
It's a great workshop, a lot of information. And you don't have to have any experience. You can just go in there and be willing to learn. You'll learn a lot. If you'd like more information, contact Melvin at 213-908-9567 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. And speaking of veterans, Positive Light will be performing our original play, Kiara and Wendell, on Veterans Day, November 11, 2014, at 1 p.m. at the Lake Street Community Center, 227 North Lake Street, Los Angeles, 90026. Again, the address is 227 North Lake Street. It's in L.A., zip code 90026. If you'd like more information, you can contact us. I'll give you that contact information in a second. But first, I'd like to thank our professional engineers, Jenny and Andy. You guys are doing an amazing job. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to be a part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. And if you'd like to learn more about our organization, Positive Light Ministries, and make a donation, please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. And that contact information can be used to reach us about the event coming up on Veterans Day. Back to our discussion.
Yes, back to our discussion, and that was about Noah and his righteousness. Okay, now, the first thing that's recorded after the flood, Noah getting himself back together and everybody's on dry land, all the animals are loose and doing what they do, repopulating the world. anyway, the first thing that it's recorded him doing in the Bible was getting drunk.
Well, you got to remember, Noah was just another human. He's just a man. And, you know.
I know, but we're talking righteousness and all this stuff.
He had sin in him. He carried that with him.
So are you saying everybody that drinks is a sinner?
Didn't say he just drank. It says he got drunk.
Okay, so everybody that gets drunk is a sinner?
It depends upon if you are causing somebody else to sin or someone else to fall.
He got drunk and he just fell asleep, right?
Yeah, he fell asleep in his tent or his thing like that. But it caused problems because his youngest son saw him naked and kind of was dissing him about it.
Was him getting drunk sin because it caused those issues?
I don't think so.
His son's actions, I think.
Yeah, his son could have done the right thing.
The other two did the right thing.
But he didn't. But what I'm saying is that.
But isn't sin where you cause somebody else? I mean, no. If you cause somebody else to stumble or fall,
no.
And his son made a conscious decision to humiliate or make fun of his dad, and the other two respected him.
I think it's just that
his son's heart wasn't in the right.
And
place.
He might have been young or whatever the reason, a young foolish man or whatever like that. And was that sin? I believe, and this is weird and it's out there, but Ham, or some people call them Cain, is the father of Africa. And if you look at the curse that Noah placed upon him, or was placed on his firstborn, and you look at that curse and you read it and you study it and you look at Africa and what has happened, in my opinion, to black people in Africa and happening to them right now in Africa and in the United States, the oppression, the slavery, and that whole thing. If you read that curse that he placed on Ham, and there's a lot of, you know, controversy about everything that we're saying. But if you read that curse that was placed on him and you look at the African nations and descendants of the African nations, you look at it and you like think, ooh, wow, in my opinion, that's what I think. But a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that for whatever reason. But I acknowledge it, and that's what I believe. But we'll get back to the sin thing. Whose sin was it? Was it Noah's for getting drunk? The Bible says not to drink in excess, not to do anything in excess. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it's not healthy for us. Okay, yes, we can get drunk and we can kill people on the highway and we can do bad things, but the Bible tells us not to do those things, and it's for a good reason. But I guess, do good people go to hell? Noah was a good man, I guess, in God's eyes. And his children were worthy of being saved, his family.
But I think good people are going to go to hell. Because if you
Denise,
don't...
There are good people all around us right now.
That's right.
So, I mean, why? How can you say that?
Because you can be good, a good person, and a good do good things, but if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have asked him to forgive you of your sins, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to hell.
But why would you say that?
Because that's what the Bible says.
Can you find that in the Bible, Shante Marie?
For sure.
And why? And I don't know. It's like this book's been around forever and ever and ever. And the prophecies in it, I mean, if you look at Egypt and you look at Damascus, Syria, the very things that this Bible has said in the book of Isaiah, they're happening right now. And people still don't want to pay attention. Israel, how do you win a war in 6 days and rest on the seventh day?
Same way that how many wars in the Bible were won, only through God.
Are you saying John 14:6, scripture says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you had a question about that earlier, about what, why did he say that?
Or? No, I'm just saying, what book would center everything in existence around one being? I mean, how can we wrap our minds around that? This book is teaching us.
But if you wrap your mind around it by faith. You have to have faith that that book is the foundation. And you walk on faith.
Are you saying that he's the focal point as opposed to different?
I'm not saying. Some people say elephant God. You got Buddhism. You got all these different ways that people say that you can get to heaven. But basically what that's saying, or the book that we believe in, is saying that what you said earlier, if you do not believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose the third day, if you do not believe that in your heart, then you are going to hell. And that's just one thing that Jesus, I mean, it's in the history books, the Romans and people around, it's logged as history, what happened, the events that happened. So he's not a fictitious person. I mean, he's real because he's history. Okay, but why would our belief system say that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ and what he did and what God did, that if you don't believe in that, you are going to hell? Why would it say that? Why do you think? Why do all roads lead to heaven through Christ Jesus? Why would a book teach anybody that? What? Dumbfounded? What?
It's like I said. It's like I said. It's based on your faith, and you have to believe that that Bible is the truth. If you don't believe the Bible is true, then you're not going to believe anything it says in it is actual truth.
But you're asking specifically why he said it that way, or why? Points to him?
Yeah, I'm just saying that a lot of people are turned off because they want to burn incense and drink tea and ring bells and think because they're not killing anybody and that they are volunteering to be the crossing guard at the elementary school that...
No, I mean, even people doing kind of greater things.
Like what?
That are working to bring big changes to issues that they see. I think, are you saying why it's saying it's not about being good?
Well, yeah. Why has God placed this in our lives to believe this, that there's only one way to get to heaven? And that what was the scripture you were telling me? That the road to...
it's narrow is the road to... leads to life and broad is the way to destruction.
Okay. And I guess the point also I'm making, one leper turned and went back to thank Jesus. 10 trillion people died. I mean, if you believe that, only 8. What I'm saying is what you're saying, that this road, and the Bible is telling us this road is very narrow and not many people are going to make it into heaven, even though.
And they're not going to make it into heaven again because they have no faith that the Bible is the truth. They want to be able to touch and feel. So they can't believe in God because they can't see him. They can't feel him. They can't touch him. He's an inanimate object. And so if they, you know, they're being too...
And I don't think it's always because they can't see him. I think even the people that say they represent God don't necessarily represent him how they should, I guess. And well, I think people watch that and people see that. So I don't know if it's necessarily just because they can't see God. I think people can believe in things that they don't understand. And I think there's people that are open to that. But I think sometimes people see or base it on how people act or what people
do. You mean like TV evangelists that are out there hooping and hollering and asking for money and out, you know, putting on a big show that just turns people off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think the thing when you say about Noah being righteous, I don't think that had anything to do with it. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think that he was chosen for a reason, for a purpose. Maybe he was the best person to carry out that plan that God had.
Well, that's just like Moses. Why was he chosen to bring the people out of Egypt? He probably wasn't, if you were to look at everybody else that was there, maybe the most qualified to lead a group of people because he tended to be a little more meeker on some things.
Well, he stuttered, I think.
But he was.
Yeah,
but
he didn't have a speech problem.
Right. But God had prepped him for a lot of years beforehand to be able to handle the situations that were going to come after they got out of Egypt, that probably there wasn't a lot of other people qualified to handle that.
Okay, since you brought up Egypt, did the whole Egyptian army, is it in the history books in Egypt, did the whole Egyptian army drown in the Red Sea? Is that documented? Yes, it is.
As far as I know, it was.
How did the whole army, the Egyptian army, how God's, did it? I mean, no, how did the whole army drown?
Because it was through God's miracles. You have
so
to.
So do you think that the Red Sea was actually parted and
I
they followed the children of
I
Israel,
believe that,
not
I believe
Israel,
that
the
Israel
Hebrews.
Walked on dry land through there and got out safely. How else could that, and I don't think it happened in a matter of a few minutes because
no,
Israel was very, very large at that time. And they had all their...
Not Israel.
Moses' group of, you know,
the Hebrews.
Uh-huh. And they took animals with them. I mean, it wasn't like it was a few people walked across
but
it on
my
that land.
My point is history has it documented. And nobody wants to believe still. And the people, the Hebrews, did they wander around in the desert for 40 years, a cloud covering them by day and a flame covering them by night? Wandering around in the desert for 40 years. I mean, were they the only ones that saw that, or did other people see that? Is it documented? Yes, it is.
You don't wait for answers.
But why is it that people have access to these truths and they're not really seeking after them? I mean, why is it that
because
they
look
say,
as that was the olden days. It doesn't apply to us today.
I know, but it's evidence, and it's concrete evidence.
But why
evidence?
Do countries after countries make the same mistakes over and over? The rise of you know, countries to become great, mm-hmm. and through all their loose sexual acts that they've come through their lewd ways and corrupt ways, they fall.
So you think that's what we're headed?
Could be.
Shantae, what do you think?
It's very possible.
I mean, all the politicians are crooked, just about. I mean, everybody's just
but
after the dollar.
All that's
dollar,
documented, dollar all that's documented in history, but yet people look at the current time and they don't want to look. They don't want to learn from the past of what's gone on in history. They just keep moving on this way, thinking that they can do it better. They're smarter. History can teach a lot.
You're saying politicians?
I said politicians are corrupt. Yeah, a lot of them are corrupt.
But I think even people that aren't politicians, just the way they carry out their lives and everything, it doesn't have to do just with the politics of running things. There's a lot of infrastructure that goes on in a country that isn't through the politicians, of just the way that cities operate through their infrastructures.
Mm. Well, anyway, I guess that's my deal is that I believe that a lot of good people are going to hell, and I believe that only through the blood of Christ Jesus and having that knowledge is how you go to heaven. But again, this is my belief system because it's in a book that has stood the test of time. I mean, a lot of people have tried to destroy it. And I believe even as we speak, there are people in high places that are...
Well, I think just the basis of our faith is that it's not based on what we do necessarily. I mean, we do what we, how we act and how we feel is because of the love that's in our heart. But I think the fact that you go to heaven is based upon what Jesus did for us, that he died for us and he made a way for us to get to heaven. And the way that we show that we love him and when we love other people, despite what they believe or what they do, we respect them, respect how they think or whatever. But I think it should be known that it's the fact that good people, it's not based on you being a good person.
Well,
it's based on your faith.
And that's exactly true, Sean.
But that doesn't mean you can't do good actions or it's wrong to do good actions or your good actions don't matter. They do matter. They make a huge difference. And our whole lives is based on serving other people and sacrificing our lives to make someone else's life better. But I think our mindset should not be that it's because of what I do that makes me right with God. It's because of my faith in what Jesus did for me that makes me right
because with God. In heaven, when those of us that believe are going to go there, we're going to say, how the heck did that person get in there? That was a bad person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be like the two thieves or the two people on the cross.
The thief on each side of
Jesus. There's going to be people that maybe we're put to death on death row and in the electric chair. And maybe right before that switch was thrown, you know, we don't know what they may have prayed for and what their beliefs were or what they did. But, you know, so when we look as our little small pea brains and, you know, and say, well, that's a bad person.
That
how
person
the heck did they make it up to heaven?
Deserve to be there. But
you know,
none of us deserve to be there. None of us are good.
That's right. None of us are good. And none of us are to judge the other person there. That's a one-on-one relationship with ourselves and with Christ.
Okay,
is
yeah,
what
it says,
that is.
All of our righteousness is but filthy rags.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
None of us, and I know a lot of Christian people and a lot of people, you know, walk around trying to act like they're better than everybody else or, you know, above everybody else because, you know, we are chosen and we are gifted. But
our sin is sin. It's no different than a non-believer's
sin. And
it's only
because God is looking at Jesus or looking at us through him that we are cleansed. And I mean, we have to understand that, and it doesn't give us an excuse to go out and do bad things and say, God, forgive me, and feel like we're
supposed to mirror ourselves after Christ, which he didn't go out there and do, you know, bad things.
Well, he served people. I mean, he had relationships with people. He built relationships with people that no one wanted to be around or no one wanted to associate with. And I think his heart is the heart that we should have. And it's the heart that we have is, like I said, it's not our actions are not what makes us any better than anybody else. I can do a million good things and still be considered a sinner. I'm still a sinner. So it's it's not what we do. It's
what we believe. Who we believe.
Yes.
Who's in our hearts
and our lives are dedicated to him and to loving other people.
And you have to watch us. You just have to watch us and see who we are.
Yeah, if they do that, I mean, you'll see flaws that no one is perfect. And I think people also think that people that call themselves Christians are
hypocrites.
Goody two-shoes and never do anything wrong. I think we see sin every day.
All right,
but our faith
we have to wrap it up. Any last comments? I think you did a brilliant job. and I'd like to thank Denise Boyd and Shantae Marie Duncan and... we're out.